Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to your next mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley, proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day, veterans and families, and welcome to your next mission, a new program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. I'm your host for today's podcast. We've got a great show. We're going to focus on the military family with one very, very, very distinguished guest. And I also have a couple of stories for you, including one from our guest about military spouses and how they handle their transition out of the military. Now, before we get started, I just want to thank our presenting sponsors. You know, without them, we wouldn't be doing anything right here. Cavalry Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. As I mentioned, today's theme is about the military family. And I'm also so excited to introduce a good friend, a great leader, I think, Patty, a great leader and a person that cares so much about our families and our dependents. Ms. Patty Barron, the newly appointed Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policies. And I just want to say welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you on the podcast.
Awesome, Tilley. Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here with you. It's such an honor. So thank you.
I think the honor is mine. Because you know so much about family programs and the things that are going on. So, you know, I appreciate you taking the time. And I know you're busy, but I appreciate you taking the time. We want to learn everything that we can about, you know, the family programs and all the stuff that's going on. But before we do that, Patty, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself, your background?
So the title that you just mentioned is a long title, but my favorite title is that of Army Spouse. I married my husband as he was getting commissioned. So I was on that ride with him for 30 years. And in that time period, raised three great kids. And I was very fortunate because I love the Army. I love the Army community and definitely all my friends. I say that because I'm actually an immigrant from another country. I immigrated to the United States when I was 6 years old, and I always straddled two cultures. But when I got into the military family community and culture, I found my home. I found my niche, and I've never, ever looked back. I'm just a proud, proud Army spouse. And really, what led to this particular position is that I've always been a jack of all trades and a master of none. Many military spouses will understand what I mean by that. I do have a Bachelor of Science in Nursing, a Master's in Community Mental Health, but my goodness, trying to find a job in those fields that worked with my schedule, my husband's definite Army schedule, it just didn't work. So I always try to get involved in jobs that allowed me to work around my family's needs. And in 2013, I believe, you know, the war, of course, started, 2003, the war started in earnest back then. And it was during one of those times that two very close friends of mine were stationed up in Mosul, where there was an explosion in a dining facility. You might remember that, Sergeant Major. I remember contacting the two spouses that were very dear friends of mine and just kind of making sure they were okay and their loved ones were okay. But listening to their stories, it really made me think I needed to do more. And that's when I got involved in the advocacy work that led to my being at AUSA for 9 years. Ugh. And from there, I managed to somehow be selected to come over here to the Department of Defense.
Well, congratulations to you. And I know you like working for the Associated United States Army, and I know that you're the right person to be the assistant, I'll make sure I say that, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policies, because I know you're the kind of person that wants to make it change and make it better for all our family members and all our dependents. And that's a, That's a big deal. Can you tell us a little bit about how COVID-19 has really affected the military throughout DOD?
That's such a great question. And the biggest impact that I've seen with COVID has been on two fronts. On the PCS front, oh my goodness, you know, moving from one installation to another is hard enough. But add COVID restrictions to it and oh my gosh. My own daughter, who is now a military spouse herself, and she's also a veteran, moved from Schofield Barracks to Germany. And I don't even know how she did it with two little ones and her husband. So the PCS moves have been very, very difficult. For families that have had housing issues, for instance, you know, we had an awful lot that was done and said about military housing or privatized housing, and sometimes some of the housing that wasn't really up to par. Sometimes they got stuck in the middle of getting a house that was being renovated and living in a hotel, and that became an issue for them. It took a lot longer to get back into their homes than they had anticipated because the workforce had to kind of be, you know, reduced a bit. But I would say that the biggest impact that COVID-19 has had on our families has been on the stress that families face. Military life is stressful enough, but if you add the COVID-19 restrictions, so if you were a working spouse, all of a sudden you found yourself possibly without a job, or you were working remotely. But on top of that, your school-age children were also learning remotely. And you had to navigate, you know, making sure that they were taken care of as well as trying to do your own job. Add to that the off and on again pace of going to work for the service member. Sometimes they would go into the office. Well, many times the office is the field, as you know, Sergeant Major. Mm-hmm. So they were still training, still carrying out the mission, but coming back home lent itself to its own challenges and problems. And so the biggest thing that military families have challenges with is that giant question mark that had that kind of is over, you know, hovers over our heads. And I would say COVID-19 added 5 million more question marks, and it was just hard to navigate the unknown.
Yeah. Are you starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy as you're in the Pentagon? I guess, you know, people are coming in. I guess, are they wearing their mask still or not wearing their mask, or how's that working out for you?
Yeah, actually, just last week, I believe, it might have been even the week before, we got the message from the president that we did not have, if we were fully vaccinated, we did not have to wear masks inside federal buildings. And so a lot of people in the Pentagon are fully vaccinated. So you don't see an awful lot of mask wearing. That's also across the services too, at the installations and whatnot, that is also part of what they've been told that, you know, they can do, which is kind of nice. But I was just commenting today on how difficult it still is not to wear a mask, because you know, we're so used to wearing one whenever we're around other people that it does feel a little bit strange, a little bit outside of the norm. But I think you know, we're slowly getting back to whatever normal is going to look like. The one thing I will say, and I'm so incredibly proud of the Department of Defense for their ability to pivot quickly when it came to childcare, and making sure that childcare centers on installations stayed open for mission essential folks. And I would say that right about now, we are pretty much over 75% capacity of what capacity used to be prior to COVID at almost every single childcare center in the service, in the military services.
You know, two things, Patty. One is that I would say now we're getting back to normal. I'm almost afraid to touch people. You know, I'm talking about, I'm a little sensitive about, you know, bump knuckles or whatever you want to do. And you're a little, I still wash my hands every time I turn around, that's for sure. Patty, can you tell us a little bit about the Exceptional Family Mentor Program and how that's, you know, with COVID-19, all the stuff that's going on, how does that affected a lot of people, I'm sure. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I would believe that our EFMP families, Exceptional Family Member Program families, have been very impacted by COVID for an awful lot of different reasons. A lot of the services and care that was provided to the patient, if you will, stopped. I mean, you couldn't take your children to the hospital. You couldn't have somebody come to the home. Wow. You had to do homeschooling. You know, and so the burden really fell back on the parent that was the stay at home parent, and that was difficult. What I will say is that things are starting to get better, and we are starting to see services being provided again, which is super important. Each of these services runs their EFMP program. And so it really is important that that happens because every service has its own culture. And so being able to support EFMP families as Army families, Navy families, Air Force, and Marines is critical. But here at the OSD level, we provide policy and oversight for EFMP. And one of the things that we're trying hard to do is to standardize some of the processes because many of our families live on joint bases. Therefore, you know what they're used to on one installation that's maybe Army-focused might be different when they go to the other installation that might be Air Force-focused. And that just adds more burden to a family when they really don't need it. So we're working hard on standardizing some processes. I think we're going to see some real good development there by the end of the year, hopefully. We're also reinvigorating our EFMP family panel committee, where we actually have family members that meet with the EFMP staff, both at the OSD and service levels, to provide us with input on what's going on, what's happening, what isn't happening, that is important to them, how we can make their lives a little bit easier. And of course, I have to put in a plug for Military OneSource, which is the website that is the OSD-run website. But what's the beauty of this website is that it has 24/7 call-in support. So there's an 800 number that you can call at any time and get support that you need for a plethora of issues. But one of the more important ones is EFMP. So if an EFMP family member finds themselves being frustrated because they're having trouble navigating some type of system, not knowing how to fill out proper forms, just the stress of not being supported in the way that they need to be supported, they can call that 800 number at Military OneSource. And we have specialty consultants, EFMP specialty consultants, that will provide them the help that they need.
Yeah, just I don't know if you know this or not, Patty. I had an older son that had pneumococcus meningitis not going so long, but he's an exceptional family member for years. And I wasn't on the program, on the exceptional family member program. And I really didn't get on the program all the time through my service. Of course, when I was Sergeant Major of the Army, I was okay, and I sort of worked through it. But for you people listening, I tell you that how important it is to make sure if you have some kind of disability with your child or something's going on and you need assistance, the military is part of a family, and we want to help each other. And so don't think you're in this by yourself. You know, a lot of people think it's just me. It's not just you. It's us. It's a team. It's family members and the dependents out there. So, you know, reach out to them. I think the Army did a great job, not just the Army, all DOD, but the Army did a great job in helping me through the things I need to hurdle there. But my wife probably took the brunt of all that stuff and really making sure our son got the development they needed. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. I like saying that all the time. I like to focus this part of the discussion on military spouses' employment. Patty, what are some of the issues that military spouses face when trying to find a meaningful employment with PCSN, like getting certified, licensed, and others, you know, from their state? I know that's been a lot of difficult for a long time about moving from one state to another state, and the spouses have to quit employment and stuff. So can you tell you a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, Sergeant Major, that hasn't changed in the time that, you know, I was
it's a still difficult.
it's still so hard, yeah. But there are things that have gotten better. The challenges, of course, are moving from installation to installation. Every time you PCS, you basically start all over. Your resume looks like, you know, Swiss cheese. It's full of holes.
Yeah.
And for HR professionals that might not understand the military culture, they don't understand why, you know, it took you 5 months or 2 years to go from one job to the next. Career progression is really difficult because what you're hoping to do within your own career is to move up in the management leadership ladder. Well, you've got to be someplace long enough to do that. And so that becomes an issue. But we have made great, great strides. I'll go back again to Military OneSource. We have free career coaches available to military spouses of all ranks, all ages, up to a year after you transition out of the military. And so if you came in, let's say, as a geologist, you know, you graduated from school and you're so proud because you're a geologist, and then you marry someone in a uniform and you get sent to, I don't know, let's say Fort Polk, poor Fort Polk. We always pick on them.
I was stationed at Fort Polk once. I loved it.
But you might not find a geologist's job right? And so you start to think, well, maybe I shouldn't be a geologist. Maybe I should be something else. Well, career coaches help you kind of figure all that out and help you with any transitions that you may need to make career-wise. The other thing that I would say is that there are other opportunities for military spouses now through the Military Spouse Employment Partnership that OSD has, where we have more than 500 organizations and companies that have raised their hands and have said, we will hire military spouses. We understand the culture. We understand the spotty resume, but we're going to hire you because we know the talent that's there. So go to the website, Military One Source, look at MSEP and see who we have as partners and make sure that you look for job opportunities with these companies because they've already said they're committed to hiring military spouses. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you made me think about kids and when they're moving around too. Is there anything that your DOD is working on as far as helping kids get employment or anything like that for different installations and stuff? I know there probably is.
So children and youth, but I think we're talking teenagers, that are in the 15 up range that want to make their own money and maybe even save for school or save for that special, whatever it happens to be. The job opportunities are difficult because a lot of them were at the MWR, Morale, Welfare, Recreation mm-hmm. programs, where you would have internships and whatnot, or you would have summer hires. COVID kind of put a squash to that for a lot of different reasons, and it's going to be something that will slowly maybe get back into play, but I'm not quite sure how quickly that will happen. However, having said that, I believe that it's the same thing with military teens and college-age kids as it is with military spouses. What a breadth of talent that there is. And they're gung-ho. They want to get things done. So what I would say to any teen or family member that's listening is have your child start to volunteer somewhere first. Mm-hmm. And that when they get to know you and these opportunities open up or over the summer, they might be able to say, hey, we'll cobble together some type of salary, but we want you to help us out full-time over the summer. I know my own son started out that way. It was a budding herpetologist. Oh boy, he loves snakes and lizards. He actually went to the Smithsonian Zoo, National Zoo.
Oh my
and
God.
He said, I want to volunteer. What can I do? Yeah. And they had him help in the herpetology house. And he was able to really get a lot of mileage out of that. And he was really glad that he did that. So that's another avenue where I think military teens can really help us and help themselves.
Yeah. Patty, you made me think of something again. You're giving some great information out here for the people that are listening on the podcast here today. But if I'm a military spouse and I'm going from Fort Carson to D.C. in preparation, what's some of the things they ought to do to prepare to move, especially about employment? If I'm moving from one location to another, is there something I can do real early to get myself better prepared?
Such a great question. Thank you. It's almost like I planted it, but I really
did. Well, you did. I heard that.
I think the first thing I would say is start a savings account.
Yeah.
Start a transition savings account. Things happen during PCS that you just can't anticipate. And having that extra money that you don't have to, find from your daily expenses is really, really important. The second thing that I would say is if you're a licensed professional, and you know that you're going to need a new license in the state that you're going to, start to identify what that state does for military spouses when it comes to license reciprocity. Because many states really have stepped up to the plate to help military spouses with that challenge, if you will. Mm-hmm. The services offer up to, I know it's over $1,000, let's just say $1,000 of reimbursement for licensing costs. So if you're moving, let's say, from Colorado to DC and it costs you $800 to do all the paperwork and all the filing and all the things that you need in order to get your license in Virginia, you can get reimbursed for that money from Department of the Army if you happen to be Army and so forth. So save, research, and find out what your resources are where you might be able to get reimbursed.
Yeah. Penny, I'm going to throw another question at you real quick. Is there a website you can go to for some of the things? I mean, you're talking about one source. Do you have a website? I know I'm going to ask. Is there a website you can go to, though? Do you have it?
www.militaryonesource.com.
Yeah, there you go. Hope you're listening. Could you say that one more time, Patty? We want to make sure you guys get it.
www.militaryonesource.com.
So if you got any questions out there and you're getting ready to PCS from one location to another and you want some good information to help you out, this is where you go. That's the website. Thanks for sharing with Patty. We're talking with Patty Barron, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policy. And let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission podcast.
If you need a firm to fight for your brand the way they fight for your next mission, it's time to call on the Cavalry. They help brands dominate no matter their size, ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Please visit them at cavalryagency.com.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with Patty Barron. And we're at one of my favorite parts of the podcast where we get to hear from one of our veterans. I'd like to ask Patty today to tell me a little bit about your transition out of the military. We always talk about the service member transition, but the military spouse. Tell me about your transition and how it worked out for you.
So, Sergeant Major, I had a very difficult transition. I think I mentioned earlier that I had found my niche. I had found my community in the military community. And when it was time for Mike to leave the Army and take off that uniform, I was lost. I really questioned where I fit into the world, what my role was now that I wasn't, you know, my kids were growing up. They were leaving the nest. We were leaving the Army community. I just had, I think, a harder time than Mike did. but luckily, I did find the National Military Family Association, other organizations that I volunteered for that allowed me to give back and actually feel that I was still relevant, mm-hmm. that I still had something to say and something to offer. And here I am.
Well, you know, a lot of times for me now, personally, transition is about fitting in and about, you know, fitting into the community. It's really a difficult part. Patty, you asked me a question, was going to ask me, what's that question you wanted me to ask? And I couldn't remember right now. So go ahead and answer it right now so we can got it.
So I wanted you to ask me, what is the role of a military spouse?
That's what it was, a spouse. What is the role of a military spouse? And you know, that's an important question. I should have thought of that myself, but Patty, I want you to tell me the answer to that question. I certainly don't know it.
So the role of a military spouse in her husband's or wife's transition out of the military is a unique one. Because you're both concerned and scared and stressed, but I was the nagger in chief. I was the one that would ask my husband, did you follow up with that phone call? Did you fill out that form? Do they know for sure that you want to transfer your GI Bill to our son?
Absolutely.
For his education?
Yeah.
Have we checked, you know, all the boxes? Did we dot all the I's, cross all the T's? And therefore, the reason I bring it up is I think sometimes the services miss the mark when they don't include the spouse in the TAP program, in the transition assistance program. Mm-hmm. You can attend classes, but they're not always available to you if you're raising a family or have a job of your own. And so I know the services are making great strides. Certainly COVID has helped in that respect because a lot of things have now become virtual and you can participate. Because the more I knew what Mike was supposed to do, the better I could nag him on doing it.
You know, one of the things I did when I was transitioning, and I tell people all the time, is that if you go to the TAPS program without your spouse, you're making a bad decision. Because all the things that you've been training all your life and your spouse has been back there doing all those other things, and she knows more about what's going on than you do, quite frankly. And so I think that's really important. There's no question about that. And keeping a spouse, you know, I've been married 51 years, and my wife absolutely is my best friend. But any successes that I've had in life is because of her. There's no question about it. And the Army, of course, but her, you know, number one, that's for sure. I tell the people that are listening right now is that we have some great programs that are out there. And I think the website was www.onesource.com. Is that what it was? Yeah, so
militaryonesource.com.
Yeah, go to that website and look it up, because the Army's out there to help you out and do all they can to make sure that you're ready to move to that next installation. Patty, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate that. And we're listening. I want all our listeners to reach out to me directly. You know, if you got a question, tell me about your transition. Tell us some topics you'd like me to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134, and I'll call you back. That may sound hard to believe, but I'll actually call you back. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Your Next Mission, you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and I'm Jack L. Tilly, 12th Sergeant Major in Army. We're talking with Patty Barron, and we're both leading this great family conversation about military families. We're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed this just as much as I have. And just a few more questions. Patty, the Military Family Life Counseling, MFLAC, I guess you'd say that, is a wonderful program that has been in existence for a number of years. Can you talk a little bit about that program and how especially important it is, especially during COVID-19?
Absolutely. That's, again, a great question. You know, Sergeant Major, a lot of soldiers, service members, their first line of support is going to be the chaplain, because the chaplain is right there in the unit and available to them. Taking that same model of being available, and our MFLEX, Military Family Life Counselors, are non-medical counselors. It's not to take notes on you. It's not to, report to command. It's none of that. What they do is they're embedded at installations. They're embedded in childcare centers, family centers, walking around units, and just kind of being available if a service member just needs an opportunity to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. One of the number one reasons that folks go to MFLEX is for relationship support, especially with our young service members that have girlfriends and whatnot, you know, or even young marriages, you know, 51 years, congratulations, that's fantastic. And, but we start out, you know, day one when you say I do, and it can be challenging. And so MFLEX really do a lot of that type of support. They have relationship checkups. We have wonderful campaigns around relationships and whatnot. But the one thing about MFLEX that I can tell you is we have 2,300 of them all across CONUS and OCONUS. Each service will tell us, you know, we need 5 at this installation or we need 3 at this installation. So it really is service driven how many MFLEX are available. But MFLEX have been doing this for quite some time. And the beauty of MFLEX is that they get it. They get our military life. And many MFLEX are actually military spouses themselves. And so, or veterans that have gone on to become, licensed professional counselors. And it's just a wonderful program, one that I'm really, really proud of.
Well, you sound like you are. And you sound like you're doing a great job. Patty, can you tell me what's the 3 things that people should think about before they transition, especially a military spouse, think about when they're transitioning?
Think about where you thrive. If you thrive in a metro area, then you really should be looking at metro areas to transition to. But if you thrive in a more country or suburban area, then that's something to think about. Many times you'll hear people go, "I'm going back to where I was born or where my family is and whatnot." That's great, but if there are no jobs there, if there's no opportunities there, you're going to be a little bit frustrated. So think about what's important to you and kind of connect that with the places you might want to go. The second thing would be opportunities. Opportunity for what you want to do, what your spouse wants to do. Your spouse will feel sometimes like they need to take the first job offer that comes along. I'm not going to give advice there. Everybody's different. But my wonderful spouse, who's one of the most talented people I know, he had 3 different jobs before he landed where he's very, very happy and comfortable. And then the third thing I would say is think about your children. Think about the ages that they are. Think about what's going to be important to them. One of the things that was interesting and surprising to me was that when we finally transitioned out of the Army and we landed in our first ever home, because we had never owned a home before,
a house before.
Yeah, that was surprising. When my older kids came home, they're like, "Gosh, this isn't. I don't know this house. I don't know anybody in the neighborhood." You know, it it was surprising that I hadn't thought of that, that I hadn't thought how it was going to impact them, even though they were older when they were coming back. You know, it's been 10 years now, so everybody's happy, but it really is, where do you thrive? Where are the opportunities? And what is the impact going to be on your family? Those are the three things that I would say.
Yeah, I tell you, I add a couple more to that is make sure you start that process way in advance. I always say start about 2 years out. And even sometimes I think it's not a bad idea if you're 6 months out and you know where you're going to go, please move there, please. But move there and, you know, buy your home right there. Or rent a home sometimes. I think it's probably a good thing. The other thing is, I think networking is important. And employment, you just said a minute ago about how important it is to find, you know, what do you really want to do? And I know a lot of people think they found the perfect job when they get out. Well, that's not necessarily true. They sometimes, you know, a couple of times, a couple of moves or whatever. But I think the other thing, too, is about friends. You know, I said networking a minute ago. It's about the friends that are around you that will assist you in that process of getting out of the service. So that's some good thoughts and some good ideas and some great things that you're sharing with our listeners. Pat, if you're listening out there, remember, you know, we're all in here. We're all part of a family. And we all want to help each other out to do the best that we can. Patty, you know, I've had a great time with you today, and we've had a great discussion. I hope you've enjoyed it. Any final thoughts, any things that you want to bring up that maybe you want to share with the audience?
I think I want to share that, you know, being a military family member is one of the greatest and most challenging things that you will ever do. So if you are one of them, thank you and hang in there. It's quite the life. If you're not a military family member, but you want to be supportive of our military and our military families, the best way that you can do that is to think about flexibility in the job environment, flexibility for children in schools. If dads are gone for a while or moms, and then they come back, you know, it's okay to give the kid 3 days off so they can spend some family time together after being gone for a while. So, and an understanding that although our lifestyle might be very different, we're really, really the same and connected in so many different normal ways through our love of our kids, through our wanting to have good education opportunities, good career aspirations, all of those things. It's just a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging when you live the life of the military family.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things you just thought, you made me think about here, you know, a lot of times you say there's officers and enlisted, but that doesn't happen. And when it's families, I mean, it, even with the officers and enlisted, it's about a joint team that stays together and works together. So it's really, you know, don't think it's somebody's going to help you because you're an officer, or somebody's going to help you because you're a senior NCO. It's about helping our families out and doing whatever is correct for all of our families and stuff. So, Patty, I can't thank you enough for just being on the podcast today and giving some great, I say, wisdom. Some great wisdom for all of us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and thank you for listening today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully, it's a good review. I want good reviews. That's always, that'll always help me. But you can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. You can also visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs they have available for you. Please know that we want to assist you in any way that we can. And Patty said it so a lot better than I could say it today. We're all part of a family. We want to help each other out in that transition process. So please reach out. Don't think that you're alone. We're all together. Please follow us on social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I didn't hear about that stuff a long time ago, but now I know about it. Also, we have a Veterans Hired event coming in Huntsville, 11 August at the Von Braun Center at Space and Missile Defense Command Symposium. Please visit Huntsville2021.yournextmission.org for more information. Thanks again, Patty, for being with us today. It was a great opportunity for us and for you to be on our podcast, and we had just an unbelievable time. So don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. I always like to end the podcast with a little story about me. I always like talking about me, and Patty talked about it a few minutes ago. You know, I had an exceptional family member, and always I've talked about it before. His name's Brian. He's at 15 months old. He got pneumococcus meningitis. He left him temporarily blind, temporarily deaf, and 20 to 30 convulsions a day. And I think, and I'm, you know, the end result of this, I want to tell you real quick about that. Today's okay. He's doing fine. He's on like one different kind of medication. He doesn't have any seizures now. But what I want to tell you about that, at the time I really had those problems and the things that were going on, the Army pulled together and they helped me. The Army helped me so much. I remember a company commander I had gave me his car to go to the hospital. People gave me money to try to assist me and my family. So remember, when you're out there and you think you're alone, you're not alone. You got a lot of people that'll help you and do whatever you need to be done for you and your family. You know, I tell people all the time, if I haven't seen somebody for 20 years and I pick up the phone and I call them, it's like I talked to them yesterday. And so it's unbelievable. Never forget that you're not alone. Always remember it's about family, it's about life, and of course it's about God and the kind of things that our military spouses do. And I also want to say, before I get off this podcast, that military family members, specifically spouses, are the unsung heroes of our military. They're the ones that do so much to make sure that we can get out there and do the kind of things we want. So if you got a military spouse, and I know that a lot of you do, give her a big hug. Or give him a big hug, because we love each and every one of you. I want to thanks to Cloudcast Media, and of course our three presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. See you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.